May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. One of the things I think it's so important is that the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit, one of his role is to lead us into all truth. And that the consequence of that is that we are set free. So it's so important that no matter what we have going on around us, the narrative, the one that controls the narrative is the Holy Spirit. It's the only outlet I trust and the only platform I lean into. God is saying some things to his bride that are so significant that he wants us to hear. In the Song of Solomon, you have this extraordinary story of a lovesick bridegroom offering a lovesick life to a bride. And the Shulamite and the daughters of Jerusalem all represent Christians. But the Shulamite chooses to not settle and to live a life set apart in absolute pursuit of all that she can experience in total surrendered union to the bridegroom. And she becomes his perfect mate, presented to him holy and blameless, without spot or wrinkle, in terms of her heart devotion, a lovesick bride. It's a story of Jesus and us. And the language in the Song of Solomon is beyond captivating. I love some of the exchanges in the Song of Solomon where, as this bride, this Shulamite, this believer, who's chosen to live a life in passionate pursuit of experiencing all that can be experienced in union with Christ. Now, every one of the believers, in terms of type, the daughters of Jerusalem were just as much in union with Christ as the Shulamite, but the Shulamite chose to spin out from the crowd and pursue the experience of that as a great passion of her life, and to let nothing else distract her as the primary purpose of her life. And as she discovers personally, this believer, what an object of favor she is, that she's Jesus's favorite. We love because he first loved us. Her love for him begins to be provoked to come forth. She begins to love him back, and there's this growing relationship as she's discovering more and more of who he is to her and how much he loves her, how much she loves him. I am my beloved's and he is mine is the theme. I am my beloved's and his desire is for me is the great DNA of the Song of Solomon. And so you'll see often repeated when her speaking to him, but even more particularly when he speaks to her, saying things like, "You are altogether beautiful." And then he'll repeat it. "You're altogether beautiful. How beautiful you are, my love. How beautiful you are." As if he's can't stop saying it and knows that she needs to keep hearing it because there are other voices that try to convince us that that's not true. And so as you get near the end of this book, there's just been this journey of growth in her lovesickness and in growth in her experience and manifestation of her oneness with her beloved. And he, again, just boasts in her. He boasts in her when she blows it. It's important to him that he affirms her and all the budding virtues of a lovesick heart. He tells in verse 4, I don't have time to get into all the language, but "You are as beautiful as Tirzah, my love, as lovely as Jerusalem, as awesome as an army with banners." He goes on and on. He says, verse 9 of chapter 6, "But my dove is my perfect one, is unique." He talks about her beautiful growth. And then when you get into chapter 7, he says this wonderful thing. Not only has he said that she's beautiful to him, that she's the most beautiful among women to him, he says, "How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O prince's daughters." Just earlier in the chapter before, Jesus describes his relationship with the Shulamite like the dance of heaven and earth, like this glorious and joyful dance. And the very next thing he says, "Your feet, how beautiful are your feet, my love, in sandals." Remember when Jesus came into this Pharisee's home, and what they were supposed to do is give him an opportunity for his feet to be washed, because in that place, that area, your feet get dirty when you wear sandals, and so that was just a polite thing to do. And the Lord says to her, "Your feet are beautiful in sandals," and the word in Hebrew is actually "your steps." He just talked about it being a dance. "Your steps in the dance are beautiful." He could have just said beautiful, but in sandals. In other words, he says, even though you don't always get the steps perfectly, even though your feet still get dirty, you ravish my heart because you're going for the dance, because you're giving it all of your heart. What the world does can't turn me that way. What an army does can't turn me that way. What any government does can't turn me that way. But you, with a single glance of your eye, can ravish my heart. You want to know what God's priority is right now? It's for you, for me, to ravish his heart. As we've said before, there are a couple of kinds of Christians. There are dirt inspectors and there are foot washers. Dirt inspectors are hard to live with. Foot washers help you live. Well, God's not a dirt inspector. He's a foot washer. He celebrates our steps. When he says in chapter 4, he starts off by saying, how beautiful you are, my love, how beautiful you are. He just goes on this litany of things about her growth in him and that he sees in her heart, and it's amazing. So after boasting in her in this section, like no other place in Scripture, how Jesus just loves you and affirms you, believes in you, and is ravished by the budding virtues in your life. When that's done, her response is, until the cool of the day, when the shadows all flee away, I will go to the mountain of death, myrrh, and the mountain hill of frankincense, resurrection. After saying all those awesome things to her, about her, this one who's dancing with him, even though it's imperfect, when he gets through saying all these amazing things to her, her response is, okay, let's go to the cross again. Anything in my life that's producing any kind of shadows, I want them dealt with. I want to grow in my experience of your resurrection life. Show me anything else, Lord, that might rival my love for you. And that's why the very next thing he says, one of the most famous verses of the Song of Solomon, you are altogether beautiful, my love, and there's no spot or blemish in you. Is he saying that her heart, her walk is perfect? No. He affirmed that her steps were beautiful in sandals, that her feet do get dirty. It needs cleansing. We do that every Eucharist. We confess our sins. We come to the cross once again for cleansing. Not acceptance, not to be brought back in, but just for cleansing. It was her response that I just want more, and I want you to show me anything that might hinder me from loving you perfectly. It's that pursuit that he says, that in you is what I see that makes you altogether beautiful and perfect in my eyes. Again, that scripture from 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for anyone whose heart is perfect towards him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. Not whose walk is perfect towards him, not whose theology is perfect towards him, not whose politics are perfect towards him. Of course, you do know on this earth, there are no perfect politics to God. No, if you do get that, figure that out. I think politics reflect the worst of mankind, probably. But he says your heart. Doesn't mean you're sinless. It just means that you've cut ties with any other lifestyle than the lifestyle that wants to enjoy, experience, be consumed by, and manifest Christ-likeness, union with Jesus. So that one, who's always longing to experience and manifest more, is without spot or blemish. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. At this time in my life, that's what's important to me. That's the most important thing to me. Are there other issues that have significance? Yes, but they're so irrelevant compared to this. This is the pursuit of the church. This must be the vision of the church. This must be the clarion call of the church. This must be the prophetic way of the church, the prophetic word of the church. If it isn't, then the enemy will have won. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yeah.